Okay, this is Talking Over the Phone on 15 September 78 from Groningen to Munich with Professor Ludwig Biermann.
The first one in Germany who became interested in radio astronomy was a man by the name of Franz.
Franz, yes, right.
Franz, have you been in contact with him?
Yes, in fact, I have talked to him, yes.
Oh, you have talked to him?
Yes.
Oh, I see, that's very good. I think he was the one who, in the beginnings, played a key role. I don't know how long that went on.
Well, he made some observations during the war, actually.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And I don't think he really played a key role afterwards, but anyway...
Yeah, afterwards, certainly not, no.
But he did make some very interesting observations, which confirmed Jansky's measurements.
Yes, I recall we had invited him to Babelsberg Observatory, and that must have been around 1940 or 41.
I see. In order to hear about these observations?
Yes, I knew him at that time. I was in Berlin too, and somehow I must have met him. I'm quite sure that that we discussed the beginnings of all this, the work of Reber and Jansky and so on, with him at about that time.
I see.
But that he must have told you himself.
Well, no, I don't think he did mention that.
Oh, I see.
Did you know about Jansky's work before you talked to him?
I believe I had seen it, but for me, I think the real beginning was then this discussion by Franz, which filled in all the details. You see, I'm not a radio engineer,
right.
and so I learned from him really the basics.
Right. Can you remember what your impression was at that time?
Certainly, that this was the beginning of a very promising field. Wasn't there a paper by Otto Struve or something said by Otto Struve at about that time?
There was Reber's article was sent to...
There was Reber's article, and as I have a vague recollection that already at that time Otto Struve he became director of Green Bank subsequently.
That's right, in 1958 or so.
Well, and I didn't know Otto Struve since about 1933, I believe.
I see. Well, of course, unfortunately, I can't talk to him. Since you know him well, could you perhaps tell me... what was the main source of his interest in radio astronomy? What did he think was its value? And...
Oh, let me see. You know, Struve's interests were very broad and very general.
Yes.
And I would guess that he, in a general way, anticipated that it would contribute a great deal, so I do not recall whether he was very specific in what he said.
I see.
But I trusted his judgment mainly, I believe.
Okay, well, could you tell me when your next contact with radio astronomy was after your talk with Franz?
The next contact, but that was effectively a little earlier already, or at practically the same time. You know, I had been interested in cosmic plasma physics.
Yes.
Since about 1938 or so.
Right.
So that was very somewhat earlier than I met Franz. That came about because I met in Berlin the best persons in plasma physics.
What was his name?
Rompe, also R-O-M-P-E.
I see.
The initial is R as in Rochester. He was really, also, together with Steinbeck, he wrote a kind of article for the Springer Tracts in Science.
Yes.
In 1938, and that was, I think, for many people, the beginning of the use of plasma physics in other fields.
I see. But now, how does this relate to the radio observations?
Well, in the following way, in plasma physics, of course, it is well known that there was this resonance frequency discovered by Langmuir already 10 years earlier,
right.
Oscillation frequency, and this is at the same time the cut-off frequency for radio waves.
Right.
So if you look at the sun and ask to which level, or from which level you get a certain frequency of the solar radio frequency radiation, then this is essentially determined by the plasma oscillation.
Right.
And that, of course, leads you also to expect that the emission, that radiation.
And but now, did you know about the solar radio observations during the war?
Yes, I did know, yes. I don't quite know whether by friends or by Kippenheuer. I believe, have you heard of Kippenheuer? He's now dead.
Yes, I did not talk to him before he died.
Yes. But, I mean, he died already a few years ago.
Right, but I'm...
He did the solar observations himself, and that was, the background was that the radio links during the war were greatly affected by solar disturbances.
The radio links between...
The radio links between outside military personnel and aircraft and so on, for reconnaissance aircraft. One tried first to use the radio for ranging and so on.
Now, this is very interesting. I have not heard about this before.
You have heard about that?
Franz told me that he thought that somebody in the Luftwaffe had noticed solar interference. And there is a report about a radar, a German radar that was in Denmark, which noticed solar interference, and there was a little article.
Yes, this is in line with my own recollection. Though I believe there was one person who was on the astronomical side who was involved in this was Kippenheuer.
I see, but now, do you possibly know of any research reports or military reports or any notes?
There must have been military reports because this connection led to establishing a chain of solar observatories.
And at what time? Now, during the war?
During the war, yes. The beginning about 1940.
To monitor the sun?
Yes, that's right.
At radio waves?
Didn't you know that?
No, at radio waves?
Certainly also, my recollection says it was, these are basically solar observatories, but I'm quite sure that the people working, or some of the people working with Kippenheuer at the Fraunhofer Institute on the Schoensland. The Schoensland is a mountain in the Black Forest.
I see, but...
And there was, I think, the largest of these solar observatories.
But they were monitoring the sun at radio waves.
Well, I know at least one man who at that time was with Kippenheuer and subsequently went to the firm of Siemens.
Yes,
and
that would
be... know more about that.
That would be very interesting if you could contact him and maybe send me his address.
That I can do, only I can't do it right at this minute.
Oh, well, sure. And send me his address, and then I can ask him questions and so forth.
Yes, yes. But, well, let me first talk to him himself, and
right.
If you could send me a note that I have your address, and
right.
then we see further, yeah?
I'll remind you of that. What was his name?
His name was Wille.
W-I-L-L-E. And he worked with Kippenheuer during the war.
I believe, yes. But I mean, my recollection is somewhat hazy, and that is why
right.
I somewhat prefer to talk to him before you contact him.
Sure.
Yes.
But let me just verify again that they were monitoring the sun probably at low radio frequencies.
Yes, but from which time onwards they did really work in radio, that is somewhat hard to... My first personal visit to the Schoensland was just after the war.
I see, but still, that's much earlier than anything I knew about. I thought that Kippenheuer didn't get started until the late 40s or early 50s at the...
No, he started certainly earlier than that.
Okay, well, that's very interesting information.
I will try to contact Wille, and if you would drop me a note, I will see to it that...
I'll do that.
...that you get his... that you can contact him himself, but let me first do it myself.
Right, and if you can possibly think of any other connections, or whether there might be a possibility of...
It could be that by talking it over with Wille, I could get hold of other names who might be
right.
able to use.
Or if there might be anything that's written down about that, that would be...
Yes, I mean, there might be reports I've never heard of, because this was only at the... more or less on the fringe of my interest.
Right.
I mean, I was interested in a great many different things at about the same time, and so it is.
So you never wrote anything during the 1940s about the interpretation of these radio waves or anything like that?
My guess is that there must have been some paper by Kippenheuer, but that you must have traced yourself, I suppose.
Well, not that early, I don't think, by Kippenheuer. I think his earliest publication is 48 or 49 or something like that.
Oh, yes, that could be, yes.
In radio.
Yes, but you must read that, at about that time, it was very difficult to publish anything in Germany.
Sure.
There were great delays.
Sure.
In fact, everything that was published at about that time had its roots, which was several years back.
That's right. Well, in fact, Unsold wrote an article in 1944 during the war. About
that I had forgotten. I must have seen it, but that
It was about Reber's observations and explaining the free emission theory, and it was a very interesting article. It wasn't published until 1946, after the war.
Oh, I see. Well, that had escaped my recollection. Did you talk to Unsold?
Yes, I have talked to him. Right.
Well, I see. Then, of course, you have already one very good source.
Yes. Okay. Well. But nevertheless, you yourself did not publish anything at this time.
For myself, I was interested, as I said, for one thing, from the point of view of plasma physics.
Right.
And I believe I made, there was one short note, which I had originally intended to publish on the emission, the mechanism of emission, but eventually I wasn't happy with that, and so I withdrew with it.
I see.
It has never been published, as far as I know.
Is there any chance that you could find that in your old archives?
No, my secretaries this was at the time when I was in Göttingen, and we transferred from Göttingen to Munich in 58, or 20 years ago.
Yes.
And I just tried to remember whom I... Well, I could make an attempt, but I'm not very hopeful that I could...
Well, if there's any chance...
Of course, there are part of the published work, there were pre-manuscripts of many other things which I never published.
Well, if there's any chance that you could find some of that early work that was not published, I'll remind you about that also, right? Or perhaps any notes that you might have taken relative to this?
Yes, we could make an attempt to find it, but it was already difficult enough to transfer all my material from Göttingen to Munich.
Yes, right.
And now I have 20 years ago, and of course, I have now about my fifth or sixth secretary.
Right.
Which, of course, makes it, there's no one who has any real memory of such things.
Well, okay, moving on then. When was the next contact
The other relation to radio astronomy was by high-energy electrons.
I see.
And that, of course, I looked upon them as a component of cosmic radiation.
Right. Now, did you know about the Soviet papers on synchrotron theory and so forth as they were being published in 51?
I knew about that from the beginning. I think the first one to draw attention to synchrotron radiation was actually a Russian. Well, I forgot his name, but you related.
Well, the first couple of papers were in 1950. One was by Kiepenhauer, and the other one was by Al Fain and Herlofson. And they were short notes in Physical Review.
But, I see. And was there no Russian? When was the first Russian?
Well, the first Russian papers were very shortly thereafter, and then there was a whole series of them in 1951 through 55.
Oh, I see.
But then there was nothing written about this in the West. It was just this isolated paper, or two short papers that I just mentioned. But now, what I was wondering is that as these Russians were writing about this, did this seem to you like this must be the origin of the galactic background radiation, or what was your feeling about it?
Yes, I believe so. I believe at some stage, but it's somewhat hard for me to... I think that was at about 1960, I met Krauthar, for instance, in the U.S. Do you know the name of Krauthar?
Krauthar?
Krauthar, yeah.
Do you mean at MIT?
The one who more or less discovered the gamma ray.
Yes, Krauthar, yes. Yes, I know who you mean. Right.
And in that connection, I was at that time guest of the Institute for Advanced Studies in Princeton.
Yes.
And at that time, I was interested in how to explain the background radiation, the cosmic ray background.
Right, this is 1960 now.
That was 60, yes.
Right.
And I believe that was about the time when other people got interested, as far as I recall, I never published. Also, there was this one paper of Deborah Davis and mine, which I think you had in your list.
Right.
And that contains everything I thought was publishing.
That was in 1958 that was published about...
Was that in 58?
Yes.
Sometimes
well, there were two. There was one in 58 and one in 60.
Well, I see. Yes, there were two papers with Leverett. One was on the early origin, I believe.
One was in Zeitschrift, not your Forskungen, or what is it? The 1958 one was in...
I think the more important one was the one which was in Zeitschrift für Astrophysik.
And that was 1960, I see.
That was 60, I believe. But there was this earlier, the other work that somehow expanded an idea which I subsequently found necessary to drop myself. That was that there was a huge halo around the galactic system capable of storing the cosmic rays which I created with the beginning of the galactic system.
Right.
That paper you must have seen, but that is something which I subsequently dropped myself, because the reasons for assuming that the present cosmic rays are only some 10 million years old became entirely convincing.
I see.
You know.
Okay, let me go back to even earlier, though. You went to the Jodrell Bank meeting in 1955, I believe,
yes,
and you
yes,
presented...
Yes, there was a short joint paper, but I didn't look up the title, but I think you mentioned...
Well, one paper was about solar non-thermal radio emission. That was with Lust.
Oh, I see, yes.
And there was another paper on possibility of plasma oscillations and radio sources.
Oh, I see. Then that was really the relict of this earlier paper, which I mentioned before.
Oh, I see. This was an outgrowth of the 1940s?
I believe, yes. It was an outgrowth of something which I thought of many, a number of years earlier.
I see. Well, can you...
That's not apparent from the paper itself.
Well, I haven't actually looked at the paper, only the abstract.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But could you tell me, if you can think about how you were thinking about radio sources in the mid-50s,
yes.
What were the primary problems in trying to understand the radio sources?
My recollection is that I did not fix attention to the radio sources the way that became common in after 1960. Of course, they were recognized to be very important objects. But I cannot say that around 55 I had anticipated this.
I see. But nevertheless, for me,
the point was simply it was one of the many ramifications of plasma physics on one hand and cosmic ray physics on the other.
I see.
And so, in that, these are the two main connections, and in that they went back, of course, what regards plasma physics to, say, the late 30s, and what regards cosmic ray physics to 46, I believe. As my work on cosmic rays began was essentially between 46 and 53, I believe.
Right. Now, apparently you felt that there was more going on in the radio sources than simply synchrotron radiation, though.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
And what was your basis for thinking that?
I must have known at that time already that you have in a magnetized plasma several eigenfrequencies.
Right.
You have, of course, the proper gyro frequency, the magnetic gyro frequency.
Right.
And the plasma oscillation, then you get all sorts of hybrids, and all this is a terribly complicated situation. And this attracted my attention in a general way, but I don't think I went so much beyond it that I wrote a paper.
Right. What about the situation in the sun, which you also talked about at the Jodrell Bank Symposium?
Yes. Well, in the sun, I had been interested in solar physics since about, at least 38. But probably 37 already. From the point of view of turbulence. You know, the sun has this granulation, and in 38 I put forward a theory it's connecting the observed granulation with the internal structure of the sun.
I see.
Did you know that? This was essentially the birth of this notion that there's an outer, a sizable convection layer in the sun.
Right.
For the outermost 100,000 kilometers or so. That is first, as far as I recall, described in a paper of mine in Astronomische Nachrichten in 38.
I see. No, I didn't realize that.
A convection in Konvektion in Sternen, number two.
I'm afraid...
The earlier work, which was incomplete, as the second one contains, and the subsequent paper on the Sun, which contains this notion.
I'm afraid my background in stellar work is not as good as radio astronomy.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, I mean, there's so many things going on at the time.
But let me ask you, what do you think are the main contributions that that the radio observations have made, especially in the 40s and 50s, to our understanding of the solar atmosphere?
In the 50s, I think it was the radio waves gave us the first reliable additional reliable information on the matter of density, of the electron density outward. Of course, you had there was the interpretation of the observations of the solar corona,
right,
as by Unsworth and his co-workers.
Right.
But it was, I think it was quite remarkable that the radio observations formed a means to check this. Because then you are combining this with ideas on the emission, which we touched upon already, one could make a consistent picture.
Right, right.
And there was some work on this by Schlüter, who was working with me at that time. Is the name of Schlüter known to you?
No, I don't.
Schlüter, Schlüter. Schlüter.
I see.
So he is very well known in plasma physics, but not so much in astronomy.
What about the active sun? Well, what do you think were the main...
The active sun, yes. Well, these are aspects I have been certainly interested in. Well, I should perhaps say that beginning 52 or so, I knew most radio astronomers active in some part of the world, particularly since 55.
I see.
My first visit to the States and to other countries.
Right.
I think beginning 53, I began to travel in Europe for scientific purposes, and 55, I began to travel to the U.S. and to other parts of the world. In some way or other, I think I knew personally most people active in radio astronomy.
Well, let me ask you, when you talk to a person that was working on what we now call radio astronomy, mm-hmm. Did you consider him as much of an astronomer as when you went to a traditional optical observatory?
Yes, certainly. It has been my philosophy. You see, I myself was originally a physicist.
I see.
I went into astronomy was essentially because I suddenly found myself publishing papers in astronomy, in astrophysics.
Right.
Which was not originally really intended to become. I had been interested all the time, but it was. I have been always between physics and astronomy.
So
and
to you,
in your National Academy, I am the physics section, actually.
So might it actually be possible that it was actually somewhat easier to talk to some of these radio physicists than to astronomers?
Yes, that's right. Yes, I found always that people coming from. For someone like me, I found it at least even now in the U.S. or for many years, let me say, I think I knew more physicists of all kinds than astronomers.
I see. Let's see. That pretty well covers what I wanted to cover. Did you have any other comments about...
No, I think that's about all.
Okay, thank you.
That ends the interview with Ludwig Biermann on over the phone from Groningen to München on 15 September 1978.